Hey, expats and travelers, welcome to this week's episode sponsored by WorldPost.io, the virtual mailbox service powered by Anytime Mailbox. We'll get to the features and benefits a little later.
If you're interested in becoming an expat, whether you're moving to Portugal or another overseas location, I highly recommend you get your finances in order before you move.
Yes, it's actually really important that you do it before you go.
I know when we first got started, we did not do it that way, but if we knew John McNerney at Green Ocean Global, we would have gone to him, as he's someone that is Lisbon-based and he is experienced with expat financial challenges. So he's a go-to person that we recommend.
Right. He can help you with long-term investments, financial systems, and international taxes.
And he's actually helped us, and producer Dan has used him to explore what it would be like to move abroad and see if it would fit his family's current financial situation.
I think what's great about him is that he gives you personalized plans. He will look into your unique situation and he'll help you out.
And this is honestly what's super necessary, because we get tax questions and finance questions on the YouTube channel and literally no background from the person that's asking us the question. So now we've started to point people to John.
Right, because everyone is different and everyone has their own unique situation. So you need an expert to help you out.
All right, so visit greenoceanglobal.net for contact information and further assistance. Check out the show notes below.
Hello, and welcome, my emerging expat. You're tuned in to Let's Move to Portugal. I'm producer Dan, and I have the distinct honor of bringing you YouTube travelers and our resident Portugal experts, expats everywhere's Josh and Kaylee. Each week, they'll inspire, they'll educate, and they'll accompany you on your journey to Portuguese residency. This week on Let's Move to Portugal, we delve into the evolving landscape of Spain's Golden Visa program, comparing it with recent changes in Portugal's visa strategy and exploring their broader economic implications. Join Josh as he unravels the complexities with expert insights from Sam Danes of Holburn Assets.
What is up, expats and travelers alike? Welcome back to the Expats Everywhere podcast. Let's move to Portugal. Kaylee, how are we doing?
I am doing well. Actually, really well, because I went to the dentist today.
Okay.
And I actually like the dentist. I know some people do not like the dentist. I didn't get a teeth cleaning or anything. I'm going through checking out what's going on with my jaw and with my teeth and everything. And so I've been going to Malo Clinic, which is a really great clinic. They've got branches all over Portugal, and I've been really impressed with them. So essentially, I ended up chipping my tooth with my other tooth, long story short.
Allow my tooth to chip my other tooth.
Crazy. Because over time, I mean, I had braces when I was younger, but over time my teeth have shifted a little bit. And so now we're trying to fix that. But while doing that, you know, I've known that I've had a popping jaw for a while. It's been like 20 years.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to correct that so it doesn't get any worse. So they've got a great plan for me. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's the long play though. It's like a marathon.
It is.
He's like strapping for, you know, a couple of years, and I'm like, oh gosh.
Years. Oh,
yeah, because we've got it's a slow process to get my jaw right before we start the orthodontics side of things.
Right.
Well, they're going to do it together, but it's interesting, quite interesting. I'll vlog about it. I'll put it in our newsletter, maybe some on social media, but Malo Clinic, they're doing a great job.
Cool. Well, if you're a kid from the 80s or 90s, raise your hands if you had braces.
Yeah. The metal stuff. So thankfully they've come a long way with clear things. So I don't have one now.
Yeah, it's less disruptive, I think, to adult life anyways.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Okay, to give you an indication of how this podcast works, if you are new here, we'd like to start out welcoming you.
Welcome.
Thank you. That was probably very loud to the mic.
Oh.
And we like to kind of fill you in on what's happening in the world of expats everywhere. We're Josh and Kaylee, two content creators that talk about living abroad. This specific podcast is more about Portugal, although today we're talking more about Spain, because Spain and Portugal have been compared and contrasted recently. They're kind of going through similar stages of their, I don't know what you would call it,
bureaucracy, like bureaucratic development.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
For sure. So we're going to touch on what's happening with the Golden Visa with Sam, a guy that works for an asset management company called Holburn, and they help people acquire Golden Visas. So he has his ear to the ground on what's happening both in Portugal and in Spain. Although because of the news that broke, there's a lot to be said on what is going on in Spain in regards to Golden Visa by real estate investment.
Yes.
Before we jump into that interview, though, we want to let you know what's happening in our world. And over the weekend, which is why we're recording this about a day or so late, but over the weekend, we were down in Lisbon and we woke up on Monday morning to go to our U.S. Embassy appointment for our daughter, Valencia. That appointment went fairly well. And we traveled back to Porto yesterday. So we just got back in and are able to put this welcome together for you so that we can get you the podcast.
Yes. So for those of you with kids, just know that when you have to do a passport renewal for a minor, both parents have to go in person with your child, of course, to the embassy. If you are an adult, then you can do it by mail in Portugal. So it's pretty easy. Pretty easy to do it by mail, but you know, a little more involved with kids.
Yes, and be prepared. If you have a right hand, you must raise it and attest to all the stuff that you've put on the application as being true.
Yes, and I do all the paperwork, so Josh put his hand up like he knew what he was talking about. I guess a lot of trust in me that I put the correct information. So yes, 4 to 6 weeks, and we should get it back in the mail. If you're in Lisbon, you can go pick it up, which I think I would rather do than having to do the mail thing, just because of the envelope and stamps and all that stuff. But then also, they do require you to have a tracking number, which is good. But even still, when you have a tracking number, stuff with the
things
old CTT, because I had a tracking number for my residency card and I still had issues there. So if you're in Lisbon, I would recommend going and getting it. But since we are not, we will have them mail it and we'll track it that way.
Yeah, it seems like with certified mail here, any Tom, Dick or Harry can sign for you. And when I say Tom, Dick, or Harry, I mean like João, Rui, or Maria.
Which would be like neighbor, doorman, or cafe down the road.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a slight difference. And maybe in your neck of the woods, wherever you're from, it's okay. But certainly where we're from, you have to. No, I mean, in the U.S., you have to be the one to sign for the thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's a lot stricter, right?
Yeah.
But here, our neighbor's gotten stuff for us and stuff. It's fine. Make sure you just have a relationship. With your neighbors and your doorman if you have one and everything. But also over the weekend, we put out our video of Portugal versus Spain. So we're talking a lot about Spain.
Yeah.
A lot of comparisons. We compared Portugal and Italy before.
Yeah.
Some topics that are really informative, I guess.
So
consider.
Yeah, exactly. So that you can make a decision on where might be best for you to move to, because you know Portugal's not for everyone, and Spain's not for everyone either. But there is a place out there for you, and we're gonna try to help you find it.
Yep. Start comparing. So we did Portugal, Italy, and then this past weekend was Portugal and Spain, which again we've had a lot of interest in Spain and Portugal as well. But then there's a lot of changes going on in Spain, so that's why it's good timing for us to get in there and give you guys information on what's going on so that you can make an informed decision about where you want to live.
Yeah, definitely. So that's kind of what's been happening on the main YouTube channel. The other channel is, I'm about to start that video edit.
Let's get building,
which is where we take you through our real estate journey. The last episode was about that. So last podcast episode. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, you can catch up on that. But we're ready to really get building on that project. And that's very exciting.
Yes. Demo is in full swing. No pun intended.
Yes, because you've swung something.
I did. Yeah. There are pictures on the channel if you want to see Let's Get Building with Josh and Kaylee. But yeah, last week was good because we could unpack the details a bit more, which is a little harder to do in video form on the channel. So on the podcast, it can be the longer format to talk a bit about what it's like.
Yeah.
So we've got that. And then this week we have a meetup and it's a holiday here in Portugal.
Yes. So the holiday is the the Carnation Revolution Day. Mm-hmm. And that is essentially a commemoration of the peaceful passing of the government, right? Like there was a coup, but no bloodshed. But,
right. Only carnations. It's an interesting
carnations went history. Into the barrel of the guns.
The military, the military walking around with guns and no one shot, no one fired. But they were handing out flowers. The people were handing out flowers.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting history to look into.
Yeah.
And we are doing a meetup on that day. That is the 25th.
It is. I'll say where it is.
Yeah. Where is it at?
Cafe Ceuta at 6.
at 6. Yes, we'll be downstairs, and we're doing it in collaboration with AFPOP. We did something with them last year for July 4th. And so the head of the Porto chapter, Jamie, asked if we wanted to do something again. And so he chose the place, which was good, had met with the owner. And it's a historic cafe, really. It's been renovated and everything. But it's kind of nice to do it on the 25th. It's a typical Portuguese place that's been around for a while in Porto for the holiday. And then we'll be taking over the downstairs area. So come and join us. Come and go as you please. 6 o'clock if you're in Porto on Thursday, the 25th.
Yep. The last thing I want to say, it has to do with football or soccer, depending on where you're from, what your lexicon is. We get this question a lot. And just to let you know, we're coming to the end of the Portuguese season. So if you're going to be traveling in the next several weeks in Portugal and you're wanting to catch a match, see what city you're going to be in and if there is a match with the home team. The matches will be the next like 4 weekends or so. And then after that is the big cup match, which is like the end of May, I believe. I need to look up the exact date, but it's the end of May. And then on into like June, July time, you're looking at the Euros. The Euros this year are going to be held in Germany, but you'll be able to catch matches on TV at any cafe or bar while you are doing your summer travels throughout Portugal. And that should be a lot of fun. That's something that you should at least for, you know, 2-3 hours pause and take that part of the culture in, because football is a big, big part of the culture here. And you could have a lot of fun kind of seeing what Portuguese people get up to when big international matches happen.
Yes, just to clarify too, for those of you who aren't familiar, when we're talking about the season, it's the Portuguese season, so there's different clubs around in different cities. The Euros are countries.
Yes.
So wherever you are in Portugal, you can support Portugal. Everyone will be watching and supporting Portugal, as opposed to supporting their team from a city or from where they're from, such as a Benfica, Porto, Sporting.
Yes.
So everywhere in Portugal, everyone will be supporting Portugal because they'll be playing different European countries.
That's it.
Taking place in Germany. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yep. And let's start talking about Sam, right?
Let's talk about Sam in Spain. Let's go.
Let's do it. WorldPost.io is powered by Anytime Mailbox, which means you can get your mail anytime, anywhere, even on your smartphone.
And they really have competitive pricing with their lowest package starting at $5 per month.
Here's a cool feature they have. WorldPost can relay things from the U.S. to Europe, so that includes documents,
Amazon purchases,
and you can get it to Portugal.
And they have a variety of packages. Some include secure shredding, free junk mail filters, and things like that.
I bet you love that junk mail filter.
Oh, lots of junk mail. I sign up for a lot of newsletters.
She's not joking. So if you're interested in WorldPost.io, you can visit the website or check the link in the show notes below.
Okay, let's talk about Lusitano Dreams, because what they're offering is really great.
Yeah, it definitely is. And Dallas actually has grown Lusitano Dreams since we first met him. So he's really getting his process dialed in. The thing that I like about it is it removes the barrier and choke point of the proof of accommodation, because that's been one of the biggest things that the D7 and the D8 for the like the long-term people have had problems with, right?
Yeah, it's definitely something that is really hard to lock yourself into sight unseen. But here you can have a legitimate contract. You can rest assured that it's going to be a soft landing because you're coming into a furnished place in a good location and a livable location until you can kind of get your bearings and figure out where you really want to live.
And the cool thing about it is that they can start your lease when you arrive. So you're not like burning a few months of cash, essentially paying for an apartment or paying for a lease that you're not using.
Yeah, that's one that's really hard to negotiate, trying to get a lease that starts when you want to arrive and not when you are actually applying. So the fact that they offer that as a service to where you're not, like you said, burning those months saves you a lot of money.
Yep. Lusitano Dreams offers visa-friendly proof of accommodation. So that could be for the D7 visa or the D8 visa. And their properties include detached houses, apartments, room rentals as well in different locations like Lisbon, Cascais, Lulay, and they're expanding too. So soon to be Porto and quite possibly Silver Coast.
Yeah, which is really exciting.
So check out Lusitano Dreams for more information. We have a link in the show notes below. All right, Sam, welcome to the podcast. I'm really looking forward to diving into talking about what has happened with the Spanish Golden Visa, how it could relate to what happened last year with Portugal's Golden Visa, and just where we see this moving in the future. So first, can we clear up what's actually going on? Because there have been so many bad headlines in the news since the news broke, I think it was April 8th, that Spain is getting rid of their Golden Visa. What can you tell us?
Well, it's interesting terminology that, because so far, as we stand today, 17th of April, nothing has actually happened. You know, there's been no changes whatsoever to the Spanish Golden Visa. All we've heard is that there is intent to change the Golden Visa. And a lot of the headlines have been Spain withdraws the Golden Visa program. That's not the case at all. What they're doing at the moment is kind of dissecting it and seeing what the effect is on the house prices and various other economic measures as to what they are going to do moving forward. But as we stand today, we don't know much further than what, you know, what measures they're going to take.
Okay. And do you have any idea of why they're looking at redoing the Golden Visa or making these possible changes?
Yeah, and this is a difficult one really to take in, because Spain is sort of following Portugal last year, where Portugal reviewed their Golden Visa program. They withdrew property as being an option, and the idea behind that was that the house prices were increasing. It was making it difficult for people to get onto the housing ladder, et cetera, et cetera. So Spain, they've got a new government come in. They've kind of done the same thing. They're looking at, you know, economical factors in Spain, one of which is it is unaffordable housing in certain areas, and they're looking at measures that they can address this. So their view is to, you know, the Golden Visa program, as it gets money coming in for property, it can arguably inflate house prices. However, where it's a bit of a contentious issue, if you like, is that when you see the overall amount of Golden Visa applications through property, it's quite hard to see how that can affect the house prices, because they sort of estimate around 0.25 to 0.5 applications for housing may have a Golden Visa attached to them. So if you look at that in the sort of terms of what effect that could actually have on the housing market, it's very difficult to argue a point that it's really having any substantial effect on the market at all. And at the moment, the Spanish government are really just in a review situation where they're having a look and seeing, well, what can we do? What effect is it having? And I suppose to some degree, they might sit down and look at this and think, well, actually, they don't need to make as drastic changes as what, you know, as potentially has been saying in headlines in the papers.
Okay. And do you have any indication of when they need to make this decision or when they want to make this decision by? I assume that on a weekly basis, they have meetings, but is there a certain date when they need to vote to have this done?
No, we haven't heard of any deadlines being given whatsoever yet. They will have regular meetings, so the likelihood is, you know, at some point they are going to address this, but I don't think they're going to do a knee-jerk reaction and suddenly just say, right, it's gone for property as of next week. I think it's going to be a longer process. I was speaking to our real estate team here at Holborn, and that they think, and again, this is very much not known at this point, that it's going to be between 6 months and a year potentially to carry on as we are. But that again is almost looking at Portugal as a model, what happened in Portugal last year. And that actually helps us to kind of guide what potentially will happen in Spain.
Okay, this is exactly what I wanted to ask you next. How did Portugal's, let's say, pull back of their Golden Visa by real estate investment shake out?
So it's interesting this as well. I mean, this is something to think of as well when we look at what Spain are going to do. So when you look at Portugal, when Portugal Golden Visa was introduced around 11, 12 years ago, since its inception, it's had a number of changes. So, for example, the amount you could invest into property had changed from 280,000 to 500,000. There were particular locations you could and couldn't invest in to get a Golden Visa in Portugal. Now, interestingly, Spain has had no changes to its Golden Visa program since it started in 2013. So it's largely remained completely unchanged over that period of time. So where I'm going with that is, you think, well, what Spain might do is just do a change similar to what Portugal did a number of times during their program. before, you know, instead of withdrawing it completely. But if we went down the worst case scenario, so for example, what happened in Portugal last year, and you used the same timeline, it was around February or March last year that Portugal announced property was going to be withdrawn. And it was around September, October when it fully came in and the last applications went in. So it gave a relatively long period of time. And we suspect it would sort of be slightly slower in Spain. If you live here, you know, Spain tends to be a little bit slower in certain things. So we think it might take even longer than that. So that's where we're getting this, the idea of 6 months to a year from that sort of estimation with Portugal.
What did you happen to see during, let's say, speaking specifically about Portugal, what did you happen to see during that time period to golden visa applications for real estate investment? Or actually, it was for kind of all. Yeah.
All investment. It was essentially a huge, huge, huge uplift. We as a company, I mean, it just went crazy. So for veterans and staff, we always did a lot of Portuguese golden visas, but that number sort of tripled or quadrupled, and everybody just put their application in. And actually everybody that did put their application in towards the beginning of that period of time, people that applied March, April, May, were able to get their application through, the real estate through in time for the cutoff. So what we anticipate with Spain, and we're already seeing it since last week, is this absolutely huge increase in people now thinking, well, I've got to do something. So we know this is going to happen. It's already started to happen. People are looking to do it now, because we feel as a company there will most definitely be time to get this all through before the cutoff. And one of the beauties really of the Spanish golden visa program is you don't have to be spending any time in the country, in Spain, to have the golden visa. So people, even if they initially weren't thinking, well, I'm not going to move over until 3 or 4 years' time, you could start the process now, get the asset under the old, property qualification, and actually get the golden visa, and then not move over here for 3 years. And they can actually do that. So this is what we're going to see happening. We're already seeing it happening, and there's just going to be a huge increase in the golden visa applications and inquiries.
Okay, so essentially it's kind of created a bit of a rush, if you will. What are you seeing right now with Portugal's golden visa applications? Have those remained steady compared to last year? Have they dropped off because property is no longer an option?
Yeah, it's been a relatively large drop up. There's still interest in Portugal because Portugal still has some very unique benefits in terms of getting the passport in 5 years, you know, with minimal stay requirements. It's very popular. So there's always going to be an interest in Portugal. But the interest is obviously less than it was last year. And I say quite considerably, but obviously last year was inflated because we suddenly had that influx of people. But if you maybe compare it to the year before last in Portugal, it's a little bit less, but not drastically. But the difference potentially Portugal and Spain is Portugal have always had the option of investing into investment funds for 500,000, which is the same qualification point as the real estate. So they're both 500,000. So obviously, okay, people might prefer real estate, but they still have the equivalent option in a fund for 500,000. So it still costs them the same. With Spain, we was really awaiting to see what they do, because the alternatives outside of property could mean $1 million investment into a fund, or $2 million investment into government bonds. And that's a lot higher.
Huge.
And that's unaffordable. Huge. So this is why I believe, I don't want to speak too soon on this, it could be very difficult for them to just completely remove the 500,000 option with no alternative, whether that be a fund or whether it be certain real estate, whether it be commercial as opposed to residential. We don't know how they're going to tweak it, and I would think they would have to, because it can't mirror what happened in Portugal just because of the difference on the amounts.
Okay. And to give the listener a little bit of background, in February, my wife and I came down to the south of Spain to meet up with you and your wife and talk to you and your team about what was going on with the Spanish golden visa, the Portuguese golden visa, before any of this news broke. And then we also talked about the top five golden visas in the world as Holborn Assets sees it. And we've released one of the videos. I think many followers of the channel have likely seen that video, as it's performing really well, where you made the prediction that the Spanish golden visa will crush the Portuguese golden visa. And it's something that I believe, just kind of looking at the numbers, looking at what the data says. And honestly, I don't think that this news that broke on April 8th changes any of that. If anything, it reinforces that in 2024, which is the context that we gave for the videos, that it's believed that the Spanish golden visa will way outperform the Portuguese in 2024. And with this kind of rush on the golden visa in Spain, it seems like that's going to happen. But one question that I kept getting in the comment section of that video was, did Holburn have any indication that Spain was going to be changing the laws? Was there any
It's a very good question. It's because you always think, well, you know, as a financial services company, we've been around a long time. We know a lot of what's going on. But no, but the simple answer is no. I've done numerous webinars, which I do on the Spanish Golden Visa. I do once or twice a month with the company, and you know, to talk about the Spanish Golden Visa, what it does, how it works. And then pretty much everyone in their videos always say, well, we know it's not going to be here for very long. You know, maybe the next year or so, they're going to look at it. And we've kind of done that for the last 6-7 months. And obviously it has come to the point where that's actually happened, you know. And did we think it would be as soon as this? Probably not. I think unofficially, I was thinking it'd be more towards the end of the year, beginning of next. But exactly the point you made is that, if anything, this is going to mean a massive increase in the Spanish golden visa this year. It simply will. The Spanish golden visa will outperform the Portuguese golden visa this year, providing the government don't suddenly just pull down the hatches immediately and say it's gone, which is very unlikely, because they'd have to phone through the kind of emergency measure, which would never happen because it's not that, you know, serious a topic, if you like. So it will, as we say, it will crush the Portuguese golden visa this year. And then I suppose it's the longevity on that into next year or the year after is dependent really on what the new rules end up being.
Okay. Do you think that there's something maybe behind kind of the political curtain going on in so much that we discussed it, well under 1% of real estate transactions during the period where this golden visa has existed have been for real estate purchases. So let me say it a different way. Out of all the real estate purchases that have happened in Spain during the period where the golden visa by real estate investment has existed, under 1% have been for a golden visa. We know that that's not going to make a massive impact on a housing market. It just simply can't. When 99% of other transactions are just happening as they would, as people value properties. So do you think that they're possibly trying to pull the wool over people's eyes and make a kind of a political stance? Or is it possibly due to security risks, but they're just saying it's this other thing, this other reason why they want to do this change?
It's most definitely, you don't have to be an economist to know that when you look at the figures and the what's correlating in terms of the Spanish golden visa into real estate, the measure they're taking, it's a drop in the ocean. It simply doesn't add up as a measure that's been taken as a genuine attempt, in my opinion, that is going to have any effect on the housing market. It won't happen. The way I spoke about it certainly over the last 5 or 6 months is that we knew that there was a change to the Spanish government. We knew obviously there was a change in parties, how it was being run. So the eyes to some degree had been off the golden visa scheme. People hadn't really been focusing on it. And we kind of knew once the new government was there and it settled in that it's basically a headline grabber. You know, okay. And it certainly caught the headlines. You know, Spain's going to remove its golden visa program. Spain's going to help people get on the housing ladder. It's just a new government coming in my opinion, and doing that as a way of really just headline news that we are doing something. Whether there's any other motivation behind it could potentially be the case. I mean, it could be lots of different reasons, but I certainly think, as you say, the numbers just don't quite stack up. And then, obviously, which we've done, look more into the numbers over the last week, and you think, if anyone sits and looks at these numbers, it would be incredibly difficult to justify to removing property, because if anything, it's going to have more of a negative effect on other industries within Spain. Removing it, you know, right. That's probably more of that potential effect than keeping it. So, yeah, it's what is your point of feeling? But
okay, and In terms of public perception, what do people in Spain think about the Golden Visa? And I'm talking about Spaniards. I mean, I don't read much Spanish news or headlines, so I'm wondering if like in Portugal, where there is a group of people, I guess, that have really kind of gone after golden visas, have gone after the fact that real estate prices and affordable housing, real estate prices have gone up, affordable housing's becoming scarce. So they've kind of attacked that as a political, putting political pressure in that direction. Is the same happening in Spain? Are people pointing their finger at the golden visa as it being a problem that needs to be fixed immediately?
I think there's always been murmurings that a golden visa should be looked at, and okay. I think just simply because you're attracting large purchases, 500,000 plus purchases, and you know, and there are some people who just don't like the new money coming in like that from outside of the country. But I don't okay. think, from living here, and I've lived here for 6 years, there's for the whole 6 years I've been here, I've never heard any sort of negative news, particularly in the papers or speaking to people on the Spanish Golden Visa. It's never really been top of people's minds. In fact, a lot of people don't really particularly know of its existence in a lot of respects. You know, it's only really since it's made the headlines that people are kind of aware it's there. Of course, people do know about it. And I would say that the majority of Spanish people you spoke to, probably 80-90%, prior to this headline, I probably didn't even know that you could do that to get a golden visa anyway. So again, it's
interesting.
So again, it's just how things are positioned, isn't it? It's like any government or any economy. It's how you. It's the reasons behind it are a little bit unclear. But yeah, there's never been any big problem with it from people living here, as far as I've ever come across in the 6 years I've been here.
Okay, interesting. I mean, me personally, like going out on the streets here in Portugal, I don't hear it. It's not something that comes up in conversation at all when I'm talking to Portuguese people. However, you do see in the news that there are protests or this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
But again, like you mentioned earlier, those are headline grabbing moments and things that the media can latch onto.
And you think as well, you know, at a point now where the government are going to be looking into the figures, because they now have to come up with a solution, if you like, for what they're going to okay. do. These figures now are going to be looked into by, you know, people living in Spain, Spanish people, whoever it may be living in Spain, will look at these figures. And even they now will look at them and say, well, it doesn't quite add up. Because if you do that, if you're thinking it's, you know, and again, we can't say exactly, but if you're saying it's 0.25% of people buying a property is linked to a golden visa, it's really difficult to argue that that's going to make any difference. So I think after they look at these details, I'm going to say, yes, but what else are you doing? Because that's really not going to do anything, you know. So I just think it's got the headlines, but it's not going to do more than that. So this is why I think it might not be as a, I've got to be careful to say stuff too early, but it might not be as big a change as maybe what we saw with Portugal, just because it would be hard to justify it. But we'll wait and see.
Okay. Interesting. I saw whenever Portugal was going through theirs, one of the things that was said, and I'm trying to think of which politician said it. It might have been the prime minister. He said that basically they got to a point where the golden visa had done its job in terms of bringing in a certain amount of money, however many billions it was in investments. Yeah. And I thought, well, at that point, a statement like that it's very up for interpretation in terms of like, the people behind the curtain can decide whatever like done its job means, but we can't argue that. Whereas if you say like, well, it's really affecting housing prices, but then we can all read, okay, it's only 0.25%. It's like, how is that actually affecting housing prices? Okay. I want to switch gears and ask you then, what are some great places that people should look at in Spain to invest while the window's still open?
So we don't know obviously what the changes are going to be, whether they're going to affect particular areas. And, you know, what we do as a company, because obviously as it stands at the moment, as if anybody that doesn't know, you can spend 500,000 on any kind of real estate. So whether that's land, residential real estate, commercial real estate, you can spend 500,000 on anything. You qualify for the golden visa. As a company, we tend to focus more on commercial assets. And the reason that we do this is that commercial assets attract lower tax. So, for example, if you're buying a residential house for £500 in, let's say, Valencia, also where mice in Spain, then your taxes are likely to be around 10%, 10, 11%. So 50 transfer taxes, it is. It could be 50, 55, 60,000, whatever it may be. If you invest in commercial real estate, well, that has a lot less. The transfer tax is about 1.5%. So in comparison, you're paying a lot less, about 40,000 less in taxes. So when you mention about opportunities, when you're talking about residential opportunities, we always say that if you know you're going to move to Spain and live somewhere, and that's where you want to live, and that's fine. You know, you buy that asset because you're going to live there.
Right. Makes sense.
If you're in that position where you think, well, I'm not going to move over for a couple of years, but I want to get the golden visa, or, you know, I don't know where I'm going to live. I'm moving over here now. I don't know ultimately where I want to be. And we always say, look at commercial assets, because companies such as ourselves, we can manage that asset for you. So you don't need to get involved in any of it. But the actual cost to you is around 50,000 less than what it'd be by the residential. And then ultimately, when you decide where you want to live and you're over here, you can sell that asset. You can then buy the asset that you're going to live in, and that's done. So when we're looking at commercial assets and opportunities, we tend to focus on Madrid, Barcelona, mainly for very obvious reasons. It's got very high sell-on values. It's got very high rental yields. So you know you're sort of safe and secure with them areas. But in terms of residential, Spain's a little bit of a, you've got to be very careful with Spain, because I'm from the UK, and the UK property market tends to be relatively stable. So it goes up and it's very stable. Spain can be very dependent on areas. You can have an area, Barcelona, Madrid, always going to do well on markets. But obviously some of the smaller seaside towns can have house prices going down. So you have to do a lot of research and be very careful when you're looking to the residential side of things. And ultimately, I think we've said it before, it comes down to where you want to live, really. If you know where you want to live, then ultimately you're going to stay there, then... You know, it doesn't matter too much. But yeah, Madrid and Barcelona, particularly for commercial. And commercial is certainly a way to look for people who are looking to get the golden visa, but maybe not be fully living in the place they want to live in immediately. That's certainly a way to look at it.
Do you have the figures on how many people have done residential transactions versus commercial transactions?
No, and this is, did we try and find this? So as a company, we, as I say, we would do mainly always commercial, but I think you'll find the vast majority is residential. And I don't know the figures on that, but that would purely be because a lot of people are buying a second home that they're going to have a holiday home, or, or they're going to move over here and live in that asset. So that's going to be more, obviously, more popular, if you like, than commercial or something like that. So I'd say the vast majority, when we're talking of purchases, are going to have been on residential. It's just that a lot of people don't think of the commercial option, and the commercial option, as I say, has a lot of advantages. And it's funny this, because when we were doing Portugal golden visa, certainly start with the majority, and Greece, which is another golden visa, very popular, we always look at residential properties, but particularly Spain. Spain is one where you have to be careful of taxation in Spain. I mean, we're not tax advisors, but you have to be careful, as anywhere, but particularly with Spain. And it can make a massive difference on particularly assets that you buy. And for us, it's very important to make sure not only is someone getting a golden visa, but they're actually getting a very good investment as well, and that's what you've got to be careful of.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I mean, in my mind, it's like if there's a 1-2 or a couple percent variance between the tax rate of a commercial and a residential, okay, you could probably make that up in terms of the appreciation of your asset on the residential side. But when you're talking like 10%, like, come on, that's huge.
It's huge. And we always think, if you're going to pay 10% and then ultimately get someone's paying, and then 6 months later, think, okay, I don't want to be there now. I'm going to sell that house and I'm going to move it to pay, what if you've already spent 50, 60,000? It's just not worth doing. It's like with anybody,
you're going to
find it. Yeah, exactly. And without going into too much detail, certainly ongoing cost for residential can be quite expensive as well. When you rent out a residential property in Spain, Airbnbs, they are taxed a lot more heavily, and the rental yields tend to be lower than commercial. So then there's a number of other reasons along it. But yeah, it's just for people to think of. It's certainly commercial option, as I say, it's certainly something to look at. But of course, we don't know what the changes are going to be, because the changes could be that they remove residential and they think there's no issue with commercial, because commercial, when we think about it, is helping business, and so yeah, What way they're going to do it is difficult to know, but that would make some sense to a degree.
Which in a way, it's like, okay, helping business and boost the economy, isn't that the point of a golden visa in the first place?
Well, right? I just thought so. Yeah.
So you brought something to mind for me when you mentioned about the cost for residential upkeep and like rent or turnover, whatever. Squatters are a problem in Spain because there are laws that kind of protect them. So that would actually point towards commercial being better, because I would assume it'd be much more difficult to squat in a commercial spot.
And you are spot on. Yeah, you don't want to be squatting in a shop window, for example. So no, right. You're absolutely right. So, no, you are spot on. It's funny this, because I had a meeting a couple of weeks ago with one of the senior managers a couple of weeks ago. He was talking about the golden visa, and he said exactly the same point as you. In Spain, and anybody knows anything about Spanish law, the idea of getting squatters in is everybody's nightmare. And obviously, yeah. If you buy a second part of it's empty, then you're always going to have that danger. You're absolutely right. He said his reason wasn't so much on the taxation to go to commercial. His reason to go to commercial as opposed to residential was to do with protecting from the squatters. Because unless you're going to be living there all the time, you know, if you're going to be empty, I never thought of it like that, but it's absolutely spot on. So it's another reason that commercial, you can let it run and not have that worry that you're going to get squatters in, you know. And if you haven't fully managed, you don't have anything to do with it, you can essentially have a commercial asset as a holding asset. So if I was it's bought for 500,000, it's always you keep that asset. You've got someone managing it for you, doing your tax returns, all that sort of thing. You don't have to worry about it. But in the meantime, you've got the golden visa.
Yeah.
At any point, you don't want to buy somewhere, you just sell your asset, buy the residential, and it's continuously earning, say, over 500,000. And it is worth, while I think of it, it's worth saying at this point as well, for anyone who has already got a golden visa or does get a golden visa in this period of time that we have now, the way Spanish law works is they wouldn't be able to retrospectively take it off you once you have it.
Okay.
So we've had this with Portugal. So you could still carry on that renewing it in 5 years. It won't suddenly be, oh, no, you can't do that anymore. So for anybody looking to get in, there was a lot of good reasons to get in, because it's written into Spanish law that they couldn't then take it off you once you already had it.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. That's an excellent point. I think people would be upset if I didn't ask you, what are the types of returns that people could look at on the residential and commercial side?
Yeah, so residential in terms of returns on rental income, once you go down all taxes paid, you're probably going to get a region of 1.5-2%. This is net, this is after all costs on the residential. Can be more, depends on the area. On commercial, net after all taxes, probably around 4%. But it can be as high as 6%. It depends on where we got, what licensing it has. What we do as well, and I will say at this point, only if case it does help any of your viewers, because of the higher entry point on commercial, 500,000, and residential, there are schemes which we do it. I don't know if other people do it, where you can actually do it for as little as 350,000 by getting rental income paid up front. So instead of having that rental income on an ongoing basis, there are certain ways you can do it. You can have that paid up front. So you initially invest less. So for example, 350,000, get rental income paid up front. And then that gets you to 500,000 for less money. So there's ways of doing the return up front. It's a little bit more complicated. And obviously, it's worth chatting in more detail if that interests anyone. But generally speaking, residential tends to be a little bit less. You know, say 1.5-2%, that's once you've taken all the taxes off, all the cost, everything. And as I say, residential probably 4 or 5% around that figure once you've taken everything off.
And then asset appreciation over the years, it would be a little better for residential than commercial?
That's probably one. It don't know if it's going to depend very much on the area where you are. Okay. And for example, the type of business is partly why we look at commercial, we look at retreat at Barcelona, because the track record is
strong.
Barcelona, it's strong. You know what it's going to be worth in 10 years. You buy it at 500,000 now, you know, in 10 years' time, it's barring any huge disasters, it's going to be worth a lot more than that in 500,000, in 10 years' time than the 500,000. Yeah. So, yeah, but it depends on the area. You know, certain areas in Spain are upcoming. So I'm sure people who watch a lot of TV programs like I watch, where people are moving to the sun, you know, in Spain or Portugal. And there's always upcoming areas that you can online from finance. There's certainly going to be areas where, from a residential point of view, you can. you can find some good investments out there as well. But when it's commercial, you need to be looking at very big cities, big towns, you know, like saying you're interested in hospitals.
Okay. Sam, if somebody's interested in learning more or they're ready to act, what should they do now?
We definitely make contact with us because as a kind of what we do know, I mean, obviously nobody knows what's going to happen, but what we do know is there is going to be a time issue now. Not a time issue. We strongly believe anything that we're looking at now, we'll have every chance to go through, and we'll monitor as we go through the process what's happening. But we're just looking at what happened in Portugal and the way the Spanish government works. Then if you are interested in doing it, even if you were holding off a little bit, speak now, because I think if you're going to leave it 6 months, it could well be, depending on what the changes are, too late. So the absolute advice now, more so than ever, is to have a consultation. For example, we do a free consultation, speak to people, help you understand the situation, what you can do, what you can't do. Obviously, people need help. We can help them through that process. But you need to be doing it now, because we have this for the Portugal one where we still have some people holding off. And they thought we'd just hold off and hold off. And they were the only ones that became a problem towards the end. And they just left it a little bit too late. So
yeah.
Because you have the no minimum staying requirements in Spain, because you have the luxury of that, you can bring forward your plans, because you don't necessarily need to move over here any earlier. And that's why I think it makes sense to have that consultation. Obviously, if it's not for you, it doesn't suit you, then you don't do it. At least you'll understand, you know, what the process is and whether it's an option or not.
Okay, awesome. Sam, thank you so much. We're going to put your contact information in the show notes in the description section.
Okay.
And let people go ahead and reach out to you if they're interested in learning more about either the Spanish golden visa options or the Portuguese golden visa options. Sound good?
Perfect. It sounds absolutely
good. Thanks again for your time.
Happy to help everyone. No worries, Dor. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So, listener, we know that you are preparing to move to Portugal.
We did everything ourselves for the D7 visa. So we have a DIY D7 course. We also have a DIY remote worker course now, since they've split those up.
And if you're already here, we have a living in Portugal course for you. Now, the difference between the D7 and the D8 or the digital nomad visa course that you could get is if you have active income, you should be getting the digital nomad or D8 course. If you have passive income, you should be getting the D7 course. And we have a special promotion for anybody that is a listener of this podcast. If you type in podcast at checkout, you will get $15 off.
So these will just guide you through exactly what you need. They stay up to date as things change. And once you purchase it, it's yours for life. So if you're not ready to go now, you can still get it and take a look, and you can use it later on.
And Kaylee is a mad lady, and she is always updating the course so that it doesn't fall out of date.
Well, I have to, because they're always changing things, and so it has to stay up to date.
That's facts.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Let's Move to Portugal. Contact info for all the services mentioned are in the show notes. If you like the show, please subscribe. If you love the show, please tell a friend, connect with us on our socials, and if you want to help us out, give us a review on your podcast player. Expats Everywhere Presents Let's Move to Portugal is produced by Time or Money Productions.
Expats Everywhere researches our guests, and we do our best to provide factual and relevant information at the time of the recording. Despite our best efforts, we can make no guarantees as to the accuracy of what you've heard in this episode. We highly recommend that you do your own research and check your own facts.